Living the Word Today.
So, every time we open this book, it is a fresh opportunity for God to talk to us. Let's make very sure that we are listening to what He wants to say to us.
LivingTheWordToday.com.
Look, the message of the Bible does indeed prepare us for eternity, but it also prepares us for the day we are currently living.
Welcome to Living the Word Today. We invite you to spend the next few minutes studying God's Word with your Bible teacher, Jesse Wagoner. Pastor Wagoner's desire for you is not only to understand God's truth, but to help you live it today. More resources can be found on our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Now it is time to open your heart and your Bible for your time in the Word.
Where would you look to find some peace? Where do you go to find peace? Maybe it's getting away from it all, getting away from other people. Maybe we think, if I could just get away from this environment, the noise of home or the rush and bustle of work, just get away from it all. Go to the beach, go to the mountain, just get away. But you also know that does not really change our lack of peace all that much. Might be refreshing, might be encouraging, but then we go back into the noise of life. Well, I just want to say this, that real peace in this world, and by the way, it seems like there's a marked absence of peace, isn't there? It seems like if you're involved in the online world or in conversation or even any of the media, it just seems like it's people shouting at each other all the time. It seems like there's hate and vilification and all this just back and forth, and it troubles us. Where do we find peace? Well, I just want to assure you, based on what we're going to learn in God's Word today, that peace does not come from a plan. It doesn't come from a place. It doesn't come from a party, but it comes from a person, and that person is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Finding peace requires finding Jesus. So you listen in. You participate. If you have a Bible available to you, we're in Ephesians chapter 2, beginning verse 11. We're going to finish the chapter. We've been going verse by verse through this great book, and I want you just to plug in and be a part of our study together. I think you're going to really find some great information and some great truth and some great, really life-altering and thinking-altering concepts about where true peace, real peace comes from. So let's jump in. I'm going to read these first few verses. I'm actually going to break up our Bible reading because it's a longer passage into multiple sections. I just want to read the first three verses of our passage, beginning verse 11. Read along with me if you have a Bible available. Therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcised by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Well, we see here something that's hard for us to really comprehend. The Ephesian church and the early church of that time was made up of those who were Jews who came to embrace faith in Christ. It was also made up of Gentiles, non-Jews, pagans, if you will, and particularly here in Ephesus, they worshiped the goddess Diana, one of the pagan gods that came through Greek and then Roman culture. And there was a great temple to Diana there, and we can even read about part of that in the book of Acts and its history. But they had come and abandoned the faith in those gods, those man-made gods, to embrace faith in the one true God and through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the church is made up with these two former peoples, the Jews and the Gentiles. We have a hard time reconciling in our mind, in our culture, what that was like. This will give you a little example. There's a particular stone that was uncovered in Jerusalem during an archaeological excavation all the way back in the year 1871. And they found an inscription on it written in Greek, the common Greek of their day, which was the language that most everybody could speak and read. And it was the stone was set in a low fence called a balustrade that it was to separate people out. And basically it was Jews were allowed closer to God in the temple, closer into the inner part of the temple. All the Gentiles could come and worship God, but you had to stay a little bit distant, and they had to stay far out. There was actually another part of this particular stone, a more fragmented part, that was found in 1936 and is also on display in Jerusalem. But here's what that inscription read, translated into English. No stranger, that means foreigner, Gentile, no strangers to enter within the balustrade round the temple enclosure. Whoever is caught, will he himself be responsible for his ensuing death. a pretty frank discussion there, isn't it, about Gentiles stay out, Jews can come near. But now he's talking about this peace between these two people, now making up the church. It's Jew and Gentile together. And he says in these words, he says, first of all, remember who you were, and then now remember who you are. And so we understand that peace with others comes through Jesus. Peace between peoples. Now, this is a particular application between Jew and Gentile in this church, but we can apply it between any people. If you want to bring people together, you want to find peace between warring people, Jesus is the ultimate answer. Yes, we can sign peace agreements, we can sign peace treaties, we can work it out, we can find reconciliation, we can have mediation, but you understand ultimate peace comes from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about here. He talks about remember who you were. This kind of is reflective of the first seven verses of chapter 2. He kind of talks about in general, we were lost and but God who is rich in mercy, by grace you're saved through faith, that not of yourself, gift of God, all that stuff we talked about last week, all that great truth we talked about last week. But with that in mind, he now sort of repeats it particularly for the Gentile audience. He says, you were on the outside. It says, he describes them with such terms as this, verse 12, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers from the covenant, all these things of the Old Testament you didn't have any part in. Having no hope without God in this world, no hope, no hope of salvation. But now in Christ Jesus, who were once far off, were brought near. It says, last five words of verse 13, by the blood of Christ. You see, this bringing people together, the ultimate expression of that is through the blood of Jesus. Because he died for Jew and Gentile. He died for sinners. And if we will come and embrace that through faith, as we talked about in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, by the way, 2, 8, 9, and 10, your assignment from last week was to memorize those verses. I hope you have. If not, you can get caught up because you need that information in your mind, in your heart, and ready to share with someone else. But if they had come to Christ through his blood, we're now one people. One people in Christ. And that's why Jew and Gentile, who used to be separated, even under the threat of death in the temple, now we can come near. Why? Because the blood of Christ makes us all equal. And in this world, let's talk about that this peace that we need has to come through Jesus. And we understand that we can be one through Jesus. And the church has this picture of oneness. And we'll see that just a little more clearly as we go through these next verses. There's no differentiation. There's no difference. And here's how we need to approach this in this world. The people who are screaming, the people who are doing wrong, the people who are evil, the people who even maybe hate us as believers. How do we respond to them? We need to first of all say, they need Jesus. They need Jesus. We need to live Jesus before them, and we need to tell them about Jesus. That's the ultimate answer. I saw a little video, and maybe you can find it online. It was back during one of the West Coast cities protests and people screaming, and they were yelling at this police officer, yelling all sorts of vile things at him and screaming. And he just stops and he says, let me tell you something. He says, you all need Jesus. He says, you don't have a political problem. We don't have a social problem. We have a sin problem. And I'm watching this video going, yay, preach Jesus. And may we all in our venues with love and kindness and compassion, because that's the message they need. Remind ourselves that when people are divided, they need Jesus. Even in our up close and personal world, when we have friction between family members or neighbors or whatever, they need Jesus. And if we just could filter that into our thinking, it gives us a little more peace in our hearts and sets the stage for possible real reconciliation and real peace. If they are saved, they become part of God's family. And the Jews and the Gentiles, they were really at odds with each other. But now in the church, seen here in this church of Ephesus, they have come together as one. So we need to live it, and we need to tell other people about Jesus. Now, let's get to verse 18. Very important, verse 14, I should say. Very important verse. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. He came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. He completes this whole statement or thought about the Jew and Gentiles. Just a few things I want to pick out for you. But notice it says in verse 18, for he is our peace. End of verse 15, thus making peace. Verse 17, he came and preached peace to you. This is all about peace. This is God's great peace mission to the world. God bless diplomats out there that are trying to make peace between countries that are warring and countries that are at odds with each other. But the great peace mission that ultimately can bring people together has been performed by Jesus Christ when he came into this world and he was willing to go to the cross for us. And notice what he says this happened. He talks about this middle wall partition. Go back to that wall I put in your mind, that picture I showed you a moment ago of that warning stone that we talked about. He abolished that. He abolished the enmity. He made peace because we're now one in Christ. For us as believers, we need to see others need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need to be living for Jesus. We need to be sharing Jesus because this is what makes us one. This is the answer to when there's conflicts even in the church. We need to act and live like Jesus. We need to love him. It's not about what I want or what they did. It's about the Lord that we serve. May God help us to do that. Notice he says, he put to death the enmity, end of verse 16. He put that all away. He's cleared up the fight and the fuss that was going on. He came and preached peace to you. He says, you Gentiles were also included. And you, verse 17, end of the verse, you who were afar off and to those who were near, all are one in Christ. So that says this, peace with others comes through Jesus. It comes through his blood. It comes through his work. It comes through the peace that he came and he made and he preached. The peace that is him. And the response, they need Jesus. We need Jesus. Live and share him. Now look at verse 18. Second thing we want to learn. Peace with God comes through Jesus. Peace with others comes through Jesus. Peace with God also comes through Jesus. And for all of us, this is true. Look at verse 18. For through him, the him being Jesus, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. And friends, if you don't get anything else out of this message, get verse 18 and lock it up tight. Here's the joy. See, we were separate, just as the Jew and Gentile were separated in their thinking and in that system before Christ. Now, he says, we were enmity, we were enemies, we had this enmity, as he describes it in this text, between Jew and Gentile, and he sort of reflects and echoes in our relationship with God. We were far off. We were not near. All of us were out on the outside looking in, so to speak, but through him, through Jesus, what happens? We both, that's Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit to the Father. That one Spirit means the work of the Spirit of God that changes us from the inside out when salvation. By the way, all three persons of the triune God are involved in our salvation. And you see that here. He talks about the Father. He talks about Christ. He talks about the Spirit. All in one verse here in verse 18. By him is Jesus. One Spirit is Holy Spirit. The Father is God the Father. But through what Christ has done and what the Spirit does to regenerate us when we believe, we now have access to God. We can all come to him. You think about this. We don't even have access to people that we want to get in touch with. I was trying to make a phone call to a rather important bit of business in our family and the other day, and I called, and there was no answer, and I went to an answering service, and, oh, there's no one available to talk to you today. You'll have to call back the first of the week after the weekend. Kind of disappointing because I really need to get some information. But with God, we always have. Listen to this now carefully. Look at this. Watch this. We always have access to God. We can talk to him any moment. The other night, I was thinking about some things, went to bed, went to sleep, woke up in the middle of the night, 3-something, and I'm just laying there in my bed trying to be quiet, don't want to be a disturbance. But as I'm laying there, I just spent some time, Lord, I pray for this person. I know they're hurting. I'm asking you help for that person. I know they're sick. Help that family that's in a bit of a crisis. Lord, help me to understand your word that I'm studying this week so I can share it with folks on Sunday. Just access to God. Everybody else might have been asleep but me, but God was sitting up waiting to hear from me. We have access to him. Not just access to talk to him, not just access to tell him what we need. We have access that he can talk to us through the eternal word of God. And this word is sufficient. And yes, it does prepare us for eternity, but it also provides for us and prepares us for the day we're living now. And he speaks to us. And then we have acceptance. We've all been in the presence of somebody that we have access to. They hear us, we hear them, but by the look on their face, their demeanor, their tone, we know that we are not receiving their approval and their love, right? You've been there, feel that? Well, with the Lord, he makes his face to shine upon us. His countenance is toward us. He loves us with this kind of love. He looks at us with understanding and love, and someday, and we'll talk about this in the next few verses, we're going to be swept into his kingdom. So, peace with God comes through Jesus. Peace with others comes through Jesus. Peace with God comes through Jesus. How do we respond? We need Jesus. We need Jesus. And we need to live with Him. In other words, include Him in the in all of life. You wake up in the middle of the night, talk to Him. You wake up in the morning, I've encouraged this, and I'm going to try to continue to put this into a discipline in my life. Before I get out of bed, before I talk to anybody else, I want to make sure I talk to God. Thank Him for the rest. Pray for the day ahead. Just even a brief moment of prayer. Start the morning with some time alone with God. Open the Word of God and study it and learn it. And one of the tools that we've given you, it's not one that we've developed, but one that we recommend, is called Today in the Word. And you can find it simply at todayintheword.org. And it's produced by Moody Bible Institute, Daily Devotions. You can get an app on your smartphone, and every morning it's right there. You can have it emailed to you. You can get it in print form. But it's just biblically based studies and suggestions for prayer. And if you want to get plugged into that, just go to our website. And at the bottom of every page at calvarywv.com, you'll just see a link there. It says Today in the Word. And that's a key for you. If you don't have a regular pattern of getting alone with God, you need to do that. Start your day with Him. And then throughout the day, talk to Him, serve Him, love Him, live with an awareness of His presence. If God is there, but if we had an awareness of God throughout the day, it would make a huge difference in our lives. So peace with God comes through Jesus Christ. We need Jesus. We need to live with Him each and every day in all the moments of our day. Now we come to verse 19. Let me just read the 19 through 22. Follow along if you will. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now let's refresh our minds for just a moment what we've said. Peace with others comes through Jesus. Peace with God comes through Jesus. But peace with God also comes with some benefits that are amazing. And let's just see if we can catalog them quickly for you in this passage. Notice what it says in the beginning. We are, verse 19, we are no longer strangers and foreigners, no longer on the outside, no longer shut out, no longer outside of God's blessing and God's care. But we are now citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So first of all, we are citizens of His kingdom. If you've ever traveled outside of our country, you need a passport. And it has your picture, has your identifying information. And when you're coming back in, even though you may look American, you may talk American, you may sound American, you're going to present a document to prove your citizenship. When you're entering that foreign country, same situation. You're a citizen of this country. And one of the things that we need to prove that citizenship is that document. Well, we don't need a document. It's already been required for us through the shed blood and the resurrected body and the glorious seating of our heavenly in the Heavenly Father's presence on the Heavenly Father's throne of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are citizens of His kingdom. We've been given the documentation right here in black and white in the pages of Scripture and what God has done in our hearts. We might be a citizen of this country and be proud of it and pray for it. But friends, if you know Jesus Christ, you're a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. It is documented. It is secured. Your name is written down in God's book, in the Lamb of Life. It is Lamb's book of life. It is documented there, and we are citizens of heaven. What a benefit. Sometimes we're down on ourselves. We feel unimportant. We feel left out. You're a citizen of His heaven, and you have the documents to prove it. Secondly, he talks about we're members of His household. Not only do we occupy His country, His kingdom, but we occupy His home. That's what he says here in this verse. Notice it says that we are members, end of verse 19, members of the household of God. It's not just said, yeah, you can live here in this country, but he says, why don't you move in with me? And not just as a house guest, not just to stay for a visit, but you can be part of the family. And you understand heaven itself, the New Jerusalem itself, is in its entirety is the great household of God. And he says, move in with me. You're one of my children. He talks about in family terms. We're described as the children of God. We're also described as the bride of Christ. There's this intimate relationship between us and our Heavenly Father. That's what He intended for us all the way back in the Garden of Eden, which we messed up because of our sin. But we now have this access to this heavenly household. What a benefit it is that we're not on the outside looking in. We're as close as we could possibly get. We're part of the household of God. And he says, now here's what we're developing. This is 20 and following. He says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. By the way, how do we know these things are true? Because we have the written documents that have been passed down from the apostles and the prophets in written form, preserved in the Word of God so that we can know these things to be true. This isn't just something we made up recently. This is something that's been handed down to us since the time of Jesus. People documenting the truth who knew Jesus and going all the way back in the Old Testament, the prophets of old, detailing human history as God wanted it to be recorded of what really happened and what really transpired and who He really is. So it's on that foundation, sure foundation. This fact of citizenship, this fact that we're part of God's household, rests on this kind of foundation. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, the most important block in a masonry structure is the cornerstone. You get that right, everything is square, everything is level, and everything built upon it is in perfect harmony. It's going to stand the test of time. So it's the chief cornerstone, the one thing that makes it level and secure and makes it last, the most important stone in this whole structure is Jesus Himself. We rest on that foundation. Remember, it's not of works, lest anyone should boast. And remember this, if you believe that you're getting into God's favor by your own efforts, you're sadly wrong according to the Scripture. And perhaps you're listening today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. I just want to appeal to you and say to you that you need Jesus. You need to come to the point to believe that He died on the cross for you. That through that, if you will believe and you will accept His gift of salvation, He will save you, give you eternity, make you part of His household, make you a citizen. All these blessings are for you. If you'd like to talk to someone to just help you with this decision to come to Christ, if you just have some lingering doubts of what it means to be a believer in Christ, I want to encourage you to contact us. Just go to calvarywv.com/talk, and there you'll see links to get in touch with one of our pastors. We will contact you by whatever means you feel comfortable. If you want to even remain anonymous or do it by email or phone call or whatever we can do, we're ready to do that. We'd love to talk to you about Jesus. We'd love to talk to you about coming to know Him. And if you're not saved, if you're not sure about that, we'd love to have that opportunity to share Christ with you. Verse 21, this foundation built on the apostles, the prophets, the chief cornerstone was Jesus. Now 21, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. So it's being built into something. We all together, yet we're citizens of the heavenly kingdom. We are part of the household. But He's also building, using us as building blocks, if you will, of what He is building. And what is He building? Verse 20, 22. In whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now this is sort of mind-boggling, maybe a difficult concept to get. But he says, I picture it this way. God communicates it this way. Each of us is a block set on these foundation of the apostles and the prophets and upon the chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ. But He's building all of us together. We are part of this great structure that does what? That creates a temple, a place for God to dwell. He describes our bodies that way as believers. He says our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. God has entered in. What privilege, what opportunity, what undeserved glory you and I have. That we are citizens of the heavenly kingdom. We are part of the household of God. And on this foundation of the apostles, the prophets, the chief cornerstone, which is Christ, that we are all being put together, fitted together, crafted together to be a place where God resides. Friends, peace with God comes with eternal benefits. So what do? Well, we have Jesus. Let's trust Him. When the world gets shaky, go back to a sure foundation of the cornerstone of Jesus, that I'm part of what He's building. When we wonder, when we have lingering doubts, we understand that we have the true foundation built upon the apostles and the prophets. The things we read in the Word of God, you can trust in them. They will come to pass. God's promises never, ever, ever fail. And He's tailoring, He's crafting you and all of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in ages past and moving us into the future, that all fitted together, we're going to be a place wherein God Himself dwells. Yet we have access to be with God, but God has access to be within us. That's mind-boggling truth. And maybe we say, that blows my mind. I don't understand that. It flips the circuit breakers of my mind. I want to understand that. Well, we do want to understand it, but when we get to that place when we really can't understand anymore, that's the place where we enter the wonder of God And that's the place we can really access the worship of God and just really come before Him. Lord, You've done these great things that are beyond my understanding. It says how great a God that You are. Well, thank You for joining me today. And I just want to go back to this last summary statement, okay? Finding peace requires finding Jesus. It brings peace between people, between others. It brings peace between us and God. And it comes with these glorious benefits. Let's make sure that we trust Him, live with Him, and that we also live and tell of Him to others. That's our marching orders. May God help us to serve Him well as we follow Him today.
Thank you for joining us for Living the Word today. We appreciate your sharing in this study of the Scriptures. Also, be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you will not miss a single episode. And thanks, too, for your prayers and for letting others know of this ministry as we seek to be living the Word today. We would love to have your feedback and to hear from you, and the best way to contact us is through our website, livingthewordtoday.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.